the word Christian. It's already been proven here this morning, God does not work in coincidences, and we'll find out as we go into my sermon text, which is going to be found in Acts chapter 11. And it's over and over and over. God does not work in coincidences, folks. We got to realize that. We got to know that. We got to stand firm on that. We see it happen too much right here in our little community, let alone God is a creator and master of a great big world, and things always happen in God's time, in God's plan, not by coincidence at all. Just a few things that kind of give me confirmation about the morning sermon topic. I happened to hang out with a couple of guys I think highly of just for a little bit in the last few days, and you may know who they are after I tell the story about them, but it made me think about the commitment, and my sermon text is here is, so just what is a Christian? Ask yourself, so just what is a Christian? And we're going to hit a lot of reasons there, but I hung around one feller there Friday, and I seen his passion about a thing. He's a feller that made a great effort to go in another place in the state and dig out a car that trees grew up through, okay? And it was rust. Hey, man, I was mowing the yard the other day, and I seen that rust bucket go down the road and back up the road. I'm telling you. That's somebody with a passion that can resurrect something that was dead. Everybody else would give up on. That's the passion of a Christian. Another feller was showing me some of the skulls that he has laid around and how he cleaned them and how perfectly they looked. And he was telling me about one that he retrieved from a plastic bag. After it had been killed, mind you, not cleaned or anything, but it had been placed in a plastic bag in a bucket with a lid on it in the corner of a barn. What do you think that smelled like? Yet I seen how perfectly clean that thing was. And that made me think again of Christ's love for me, that he picked me up out of that trash bag, out of that bucket, when I smelled so bad that we would turn our nose up at it. Yeah, he cleaned it. So think about it. So what is a Christian? The world is labeling Christians today, mind you, as a hate group. Think about that. As a hate group. Just because we won't conform to their desires, because we seek the Word of God. We seek the truth. There is no hate in this Word of God. Yet they'll label you. I say us, but if you claim to be a Christian today, you are a member of a hate group. Think about that. So, just what is a Christian? Keep asking yourself that as we go through this. Again, Acts chapter 11, I'm going to start out by reading verses 19 through 26. Acts chapter 11, reading verses 19 through 26. And that lesson that we had this morning in our class here just sets this up perfectly. Hey, and I had no clue what the lesson was. Really, I didn't. We didn't work this out. Dave called me in the middle of the week to ask me about preaching. The sermon was there. It wasn't a coordinated effort on any human part. It's all by God. It's all by His grace and His Holy Spirit that works with people that are seeking the Lord. Remember, so what do you think a Christian is? Remember that. Okay, let's read. I want to read verses 19 through 26. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians." And remember, we emphasize anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. Grecians right here is Gentiles. "Preaching the Lord Jesus." They were preaching the gospel of Christ. Verse 21 says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." They were saved. Verse 22 says, "Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." Verse 25, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And let us pray. Lord, again, we're humbled once again to bow here before you on this beautiful morning which you have created. We give you glory. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your guidance through your Holy Spirit, Lord, through your word, the power that lies therein. May it fall on receptive hearts this morning, Lord. May it move us from our standing place and step forth and put our faith and trust in you and you alone. May let us be the Christians. Let us be the example that has been set before us. I ask God that you get me out of the way, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit moves upon us and guides and directs our every word, every deed, every thought. We pray for those who couldn't be here today. Visit with them this morning as only you can. And again, I ask for you to forgive me. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. If you'll back right up there a little bit, just a quick few notes before we move on. I was talking about Barnabas. We think about Christians when they are called Christians. The disciples were called Christians. A lot of us think about the 12 disciples. Barnabas was a disciple of a disciple. I am a disciple of a disciple. Each one of us is a disciple of a disciple that's passed on down. By what means? By the word of God that is passed from one person to another. As Greg was talking about, out there is the ground where we go to spread the gospel. You may not know how many disciples may come from your witness. I was thinking about the event that Paul was talking about in his testimony that he shared. Yeah, that was a pinpoint event for him and Cornelius to come together. God coordinated that and worked it out. But look at the collateral damage. His family, Cornelius' family got saved. So who in Cornelius' family might have got saved from that? Who of the Jews that he was testifying to, who of them might have received and believed and became a disciple? That was the emphasis I learned in studying that about a Barnabas. You know, well, he wasn't a disciple. Well, yes, he was. Just as if you're a Christian today, remember, so what is a Christian? We're not a hate group. We are disciples. We are disciples of what? Disciples of Christ. Christian has come from the word of Christ, and it's to be Christ-like. So what is a Christian? Keep asking ourselves that. Let's keep asking ourselves that. In verse, another thing that jumped out at me, that right there. In verse 26, it says, "And the disciples were called Christians." They weren't self-proclaimed Christians. Hey, think about that. I've run into people who say, "Well, yeah, I'm a Christian." Okay. Now, don't misunderstand, it's not a judgmental thing, but where's the fruits? They are called Christians because I just want to call myself a Christian. They have not received Christ. They have not become Christ-like. They are a Christian in word, self-proclaimed, which is self-righteousness. So, just what is a Christian? And I wrote myself a note right there. How did they get to this point? How did them disciples get to the point where they were called Christians? So think about that. How did you get to the point in your life where you can be called a Christian? This is serious stuff, you know. This is serious. This world has a high misconception of what a Christian is. And sometimes I think it rolls into the church and Christians that are not Christians. Hey, you know, that's truth. That's just truth. That's real stuff. It's not to throw darts at anybody or hurt anybody. But there's Christians that ain't Christians. Okay, here we go. How did they get to this point? Let's start in John chapter 1 and read verses 26 through 34. Just a little bit back to the left from where we started. John chapter 1, verses 26 through 34. How do you get to this point? It starts with Christ. Where else could it start? To be a Christian, to be Christ-like, it's got to have a starting point. We will start with Christ. Here's his introduction from John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verses 26 through 34 says, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. And he was talking to the Pharisees. Verse 27, He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. Good example right there. So just what is a Christian? He's not an arrogant person. He's not a self-righteous person. Verse 28 says, Things were done in Beth Abarah beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. Verse 29 says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming and saith, Behold the Lamb of God. So just what is a Christian? A Christian reflects Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who proclaims Christ as King. A Christian is one who puts Christ first, ahead of everything else. Behold the Lamb of God. He goes on to say, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's not one man among us that ever lived or ever will live that can do anything about your sin. And you can't do nothing about your own sin. So just what is a Christian? Verse 30 says, This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water, a physical baptism. But verse 32 says, And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Verse 34 says, And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. A Christian proclaims Jesus Christ as the Son of God, not a great prophet, not a great teacher, not anything but the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, through Jesus Christ. So what is a Christian today? Does he stand firm that Jesus Christ is the way, the only way? No doubt, no compromise. Jesus Christ. So, what is a Christian today? Let's go to number two. I wrote followers. Followers. And it continues right on. John chapter 1, going to read verses 35 through 39. And again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and they were disciples of John he's talking about right there. And looking upon Jesus as he walketh, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So what is a Christian? Is a Christian a follower of anything but Jesus? It is not. A Christian follows Jesus and Jesus only. Amen. Don't care who you are, where you're from. That's the Word of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. It's Jesus. Jesus. So, just what is a Christian? One more place. In Mark, and you can hold John there, but let's turn to Mark chapter 1. It's a little bit back to the left. I'm going to read Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, talking about Jesus, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Key verse 18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Are you following Jesus completely? Forsaken everything. They forsook their livelihood. How many of us think we could do that today? Hey, this is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. So just what is a Christian? A Christian is one that forsakes all others for him, for his service. Now that, I'm not saying that means to throw everything else away. If you seek him first, if you remain focused on the cross of Christ, you ain't focused on the blood of Jesus. If we remain focused on the purpose that he came, all that other stuff will take care of itself and it'll be good. All that other stuff will take care of itself and it'll be good. All that other stuff will take care of itself and it'll be good. I said that three times because I wanted to emphasize that, because we all have that other stuff that is pretty important. And you know that other stuff, for the most part, is important to God because it is important to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Remain focused on Jesus Christ. That'll take care of himself. Amen. That'll take care of itself. So, just what is a Christian? Let's go to Jesus' teaching. We're going to be in John chapter 3. So right back where we was at, John chapter 3. Just a couple of pages over. John chapter 3. And in this case, he's talking to Nicodemus. But Jesus is teaching. He's teaching Nicodemus, but he's teaching us all right here today. Okay? John chapter 3, 1 through 6. There was a man of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were of the law, the Old Testament, well studied, well versed. They knew the words and the words, the ins and outs of laws and this and that and all that stuff. So ritualistic, so religious. Yeah, I mean that way, because people talk about religions. Well, religions is actions. Religions is repetitious stuff. Some people say, are you religious? I say, no, I'm a Christian. So what is a Christian? Okay, I'll read that again. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these things, these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4 says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? He's trying to comprehend that with a physical mind. Jesus is speaking of the spiritual mind. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5 says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Remember, be born of water means the physical birth. And of the Spirit, which is being born again, He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. He's teaching that. So what does it take? So just what is a Christian? That is a person that has been born physically, but he has been born again. Born again. Born again. That's the spiritual birth. So, just what is a Christian? Number four, accepting the new covenant. We'll start out in Hebrews chapter 10. That's a bit to the right, past Acts the Ways, past Ephesians. Hebrews chapter 10. Read verses 14 through 25. Now we're going to get into accepting what God's plan is for each of us to be Christians. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds I will write them. That's the Holy Spirit. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's repentance. And where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. And that high priest he's referring to there, there is one high priest, and that is Jesus Christ. The veil was that divider between man and God, and Jesus did away with that veil. We can go directly to the throne. We can go directly to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So what is a Christian? He's one dependent on the blood of Jesus Christ. The world says, take the blood out of the church. If you take the blood out of the church, you take Jesus out of the church, and you take salvation out of the church, you take grace out of the church, we might as well get out of the church. So, just what is a Christian? Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Salvation occurs within us. Salvation is something that happens when Jesus comes into our lives. Salvation is something we cannot act out. Salvation is something we cannot earn. Salvation is something we cannot attain without the blood of Jesus Christ. So what is a Christian? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. A Christian trusts in the promises of God. Trust in the promises of what Jesus Christ done for you on a personal level. You and you and you and each and every one of us. Verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoke means to excite, encouraged, to motivate. I need motivated. Testimonies motivate me. Testimonies motivate others. Satan is the one that wants us to sit on those testimonies, share those testimonies. Provoke one another. Lift each other up. We've got some in hospitals. We've got some that just had surgeries. Hey, it might be you next. It might be you next. Somebody has a death in the family. Somebody in here is going to be the next one to die. Somebody is. You know, that's not a profound prophetic thing. That's just part of life, Grandpa Charlie said. It's just part of it. So we all come together and lift. Are you a Christian to lift each other up? So just what is a Christian? You want Christian friends? Well, I do. I want Christian friends that that are like that. There's what God had in mind as Christian, to be Christ-like as Christian. So just what is Christian? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hey, the day's approaching. Hey, if you ain't read the news or the internet or whatever's going on, the day's approaching. Jesus is coming soon. Just what is a Christian? A Christian is a person that looks for that coming. When Jesus is going to split the eastern sky. I got a couple uncles up there that got buried in a particular spot, so they're facing the eastern sky.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, right. They're looking forward to that. And we can be looking forward to that too. Because he's coming. He's coming. So just what is a Christian? A Christian is one that's looking for him. Are you looking for him this morning? Are you ready for him this morning? I pray that you are. So, just what is a Christian? Let's go to Ephesians. These are real quick. Ephesians is just back to your left, just a page or two. Or a book or two. Or three. Oh, dear. Ephesians chapter 2, going to read verses 8 and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in whom? In Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So just what is a Christian? A Christian is dependent on Jesus Christ for his salvation. A Christian is working because he is a Christian. His works, his every effort should be out there to glorify Christ, to lift him up. Not to attain salvation, but to encourage salvation among others. Preach the word of Jesus, that he alone saves. Okay. Let's go to number 5. Matthew, it's the great commandment. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Matthew 22. Verses 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Someone asks. Verse 37. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Talk about the law. The law was given to show us our sin. Grace was given that we can be saved from our sin. And that right there is so what is a Christian? A Christian is somebody that loves the Lord God with all their heart, with all their mind, and all their soul, and loves their neighbor. So just what is a Christian today? Number 6. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 26. It says, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. And you can circle that word liberty. That means freedom. You have been called into freedom. If you're a true Christian today, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15 says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Maintain your focus. Maintain our focus on Christ. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do these things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are, now listen to these. So just what is a Christian? And listen to these. Not the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you, before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are you're not saved. I'm going to jump down and read number 3, chapter 6, verse 3. It says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Wow. Who's the master of deception? Satan. Okay, now I'm going to move back up to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance. Temperance means self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Maintain your focus. Focus, focus, focus. So just what is a Christian? Number 8, back to Matthew. I'm getting close to being done. Matthew chapter 6, going to read verses 31 through 34. It says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And we talked about this earlier. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Key part there is, Bill Angel used to preach this, your time, your talent, and your treasure. Well, I think about that. That's all mine. Well, where did that come from, folks? Where did your time come from? God. Where does your talent come from? Your Creator. Where does your treasure come from? Your Provider. So how can we be a Christian, represent a Christian, be Christ-likeness? By giving what God has given us. Yeah, yeah. So just what is a Christian? Just about done. So, in the world today, a Christian, and I've heard many different responses when you talk to folks. They might say, well, I try to look like a Christian. I try to act like a Christian. Well, one of these days I want to be a Christian. Hey, I can vouch for that. I remember saying, yeah, I'll do that when I get older. Well, I think I'm a Christian. I call myself a Christian. I'm a good guy. I don't hurt nobody or nothing. So I think I'm a Christian. And then here's the one that we talked about, Claire. I hope I'm a Christian. That's that lukewarm, and that's the worst place to be. I hope I'm a Christian. So if you hope you're a Christian, you're putting your hope in something else that's not firm and solid as Jesus Christ, as the blood of Jesus Christ. A Christian puts his full faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So just what is a Christian? Let's go to Romans chapter 10, and I'll be finishing up there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. And if you're at issue with where you stand in your Christian life, if you are a true Christian in heart, in reality, or maybe I thought I was a Christian, we're going to go through this right here, and you can know today, without a doubt, that you are a Christian. You can know. I remember Dave says he has a no-so salvation. We know it because of the J-O-Y in our heart. Jesus, others, and yourself. But we'll know from the joy in our heart that the Holy Spirit brings. Let's read Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So just what is a Christian? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. It's where they think they're saved. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And the only way to attain the righteousness of God is through Jesus Christ. You cannot do it on your own, no matter how good you are. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Believeth, right there, I mean the same thing as it does in John 3:16, as Greg was mentioning this morning, how that's misunderstood once. The word believe means to be committed to. There's more than just, well, I believe. Committed means I'm focused. I have a passion for that. I want that. I want to grow. I want to proclaim Christ. Because there's a lot of believers in that sense, not believers in the true sense. Verse 5 says, for Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say, not in thine heart, who shall descend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. Because there's no need for that. Christ done that once and for all. He shed blood once and for all. Verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, listen up, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, sincerely believe in thine heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can know today without a doubt. You trust the blood of Jesus. You cannot trust in anything else. You cannot trust in Dave. You cannot trust in the world. You cannot trust in yourself. You got to trust in Jesus Christ. So are you a Christian today? Are you really a Christian today? Ask yourself that. The Word of God tells us how we can be a Christian of the Bible and not a Christian of the world.